You're listening to the Riabu podcast with Simon Littlewood and Mark Lowdy. Simon, in the previous podcast, you talked about a friend of yours, not quite sure about the detail, runs a fintech and he had what, $700 million? $700,000
worth of
$700,000, still a very substantial sum of money.
On a company that's turning over $4 or $5 million, yes.
And he's a fintech. Now, lots of people who are listening to this might very well be thinking of starting their own fintech, might have even started their own fintech. You'd think that people who are in the financial technologies space would get their payments.
Well, let's go back to first principles. Why do most companies fail? They fail because they run out of working capital. That's the data. It's overwhelmingly compelling.
Rather than running out of customers.
So some companies fail to get customers, but most companies that have a decent idea go out and they get sales. And what they don't understand is, because of the way they're treating their suppliers and their customers, they're actually consuming more working capital. They're not generating free cash flow. It's pretty fundamental. And yet the fact of the matter is that this disease of not taking balance sheet issues, and in particular receivables, seriously, has jumped to the next generation. It's just astonishing.
But there are a lot of bankers who start fintechs, right? You might be a banker in a commercial bank somewhere for 20 years, and then all of a sudden you've got a great fintech idea.
Well, banking disruption and disruption to traditional banking and the massive amounts of surplus cash that traditional banks have as a result of quantitative easing have also further muddied the water, because whereas in the past a bank would have said, well, I don't like the look of this much, you need to chase money and get your customers to pay you on time. Now he says, don't worry, you know, I can lend you another $1 million. You know, it costs you 14% a year, but don't worry, you know, you're generally. So banks have massively increased the amount of, and other intermediaries who aren't non-banking intermediaries have massively increased the amounts of money that they're lending to companies, particularly SMEs. And in Singapore and in Hong Kong, we're seeing SMEs that are in many cases in serious difficulty as a result of the level of borrowing that they've undertaken.
So the fintechs, even the fintechs that are started by experienced bankers, you're saying the bankers have drunk their own Kool-Aid. And they're all, even though they come from a bank, they're no better at chasing customers for payment than business people
well,
in any other business.
It depends what kind of fintech we're talking about, but it's significant. I think more than half of fintechs started by ex-bankers are typically to do with transacting parts of the business. So payments, for example, where, you know, there is massive innovation and disruption going on, or billing and collection. But the reason that they're investing in fintechs, which provide new and creative methods of paying and collecting money and all these kind of things, is often because they see opportunities to see into the cash situation of a company, be it a big company or a small company, in a way that they've not been able to do before, particularly if it's not a client. And as a result of that, say, don't worry, we'll and just pump more borrowed money into those companies, you know, until those companies in many cases are essentially on life support. Because if the bank withdraws its constant infusion of cash, the company goes under.
So if you're running a fintech, maybe you've got a fintech idea, you started a fintech, or you're about to start one. Simon, what's the thing that you need to know?
This is one of the fundamental things that you need to know. You need to, first of all, be clear what's going to happen as a result of when you pay your suppliers and when your customers pay you. What's that going to do to your overall working capital requirement? If you have a very common business model, which means that your suppliers require you to pay them fairly promptly, but your customers take their time because you haven't bothered to look at it, what will happen is that as your sales grow, you will find that your working capital requirement goes up. That can put you into all kinds of situations. I mean, the bad things that can happen are, if you're lucky, you can just borrow the money, but that's not really a good solution because at some point you've got to pay it back, or they won't be able to lend you anymore. Secondly, you might find yourself, and I've seen this very often, if you do run out of money, you're vulnerable because you've got a essentially healthy business, that's to say that you're growing and you're selling, but if you can't find some money somewhere, the business is going to go under. What happens? Somebody that's got cash comes along and makes you an offer. This happens over and over and over again in the business world. I haven't done the analysis, but I bet that when you look at what entrepreneurs do and you look at how many of them have ended up with a short straw, that is a minority share in the company that they created, you'd find that in most cases it's simply due to the fact that they didn't understand the impact of a growing working capital requirement on their overall liquidity. Mm. It's so fundamental.
And that then impacts the valuation at which you do finally then sell on your own terms. Because presumably if you are good at managing your cash flow, you don't need to take on board somebody, an investor who comes along with a rescuing bundle of cash. And you're able to then command a much higher premium when time comes to sell.
Well, you shouldn't have to sell. You sell. The difference is you sell when you want rather than when you have to. Mm. And yes, I mean, there are lots of reasons for having healthy cash flow. Growth, you know, investing in new products, investing in new markets, being able to sleep at night. I mean, you know,
lots of good
reasons. To name but a few.
So if you're running a fintech, yeah. Or maybe you're just starting out with a fintech idea, you are actually in a much, much better position than many people who've been in business for many years, because you are really just at the beginning of your journey. You're able to set the junction right, so to speak, right from the beginning. And so if you want some more input from Simon into how that might work in your company and how you might be able to get people to pay on time at the right from the get-go and avoid having to sell minority stakes, drop Simon a line through the podcast.